The special favor of Allah, Holy Allah. The universe is the body and its soul, Holy Allah.
Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen, wassalatu wassalamu ala Sayyidil Mursaleen. Amma ba'd, a'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim, bismillahir rahmanir rahim. As-salatu was-salamu alayki ya Rasulullah wa ala alika wa sahabika ya Habiballah. As-salatu was-salamu alayki ya Nabi Allah wa ala alika wa sahabika ya Nurullah. MashaAllah, viewers of Madani Channel, welcome to this special series of programs Yesterday, Today and Tomorrow. And what is the theme of this program? In this program, we try to delve into our rich heritage, learn from our past, learn from yesterday, learn from the lives of our pious predecessors, learn from the lives of the companions of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, learn from the lives of the mothers of the believers, the four righteous khalifas, and ultimately learning from the life of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Because these people that I just mentioned, they are our role models. They are the people that we should look up to, we should aspire to be like, we should try and follow in their footsteps, we need to know about them. And in this world, whenever you have a role model, you try and find out about them. But unfortunately, when it comes to our deen, we don't know about our role model. We don't know who these people, we don't even know that we've got role models. So inshallah, in this series of programs, we're going to try to learn something from yesterday so that we can make a change in our life today and have a better tomorrow. Yesterday, today and tomorrow. We're going to begin by giving you a blessing of reciting Durood-e Pak upon the Prophet of Allah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. The Prophet of Allah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam is reported to have said that whoever sends salat upon me once, how hard is that? Only once. You know, sometimes you say 1,000 times, 313 times, 600 times, yeah? And you say, oh, I can't do that. Once. Just once. The Prophet of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that whoever sends salat upon me once, Allah azza wa jal showers him with 10 mercies and an angel is appointed to convey the salat to me. Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar. Being able to present your salam in the court of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when it is presented there, it will be presented with your name and your father's name as well. You know, just recently we had a visit from Rukni Shura Abdul Habibai and Nigrani Shura, Haji Imran Attari, mashallah, may Allah azza wa jal keep them amongst us. And there were many brothers here in the UK that made the intention to travel in the way of Allah azza wa jal for 1 month, for 3 months, for 12 months. And Nigrani Shura, to encourage them, he said to them, look, give me your names of all those people that are willing to make this journey and I will present their names in the court of Amir Sunnat. And inshallah, he will do dua for you. But here we are giving, here we are being told, recite Durood e Pak upon the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Your name will be presented in the court of courts, the King of Kings. The King of Kings. Your name will be presented in the King of Kings, in the court of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. What greater thing can we have? Our name and our father's name will inshallah be presented there. Today, viewers of Madani Channel, we're going to talk about a companion of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and learn something from his life. But before I begin, I'm going to give you an event that took place, and that will be the introduction of the companion as well. It is stated that before the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam announced his prophethood, a trader from Banu Taib, now that is the tribe of the first Khalifa of Islam, Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu, he said he went to Basra for a trading purposes. And when he reached the marketplace there, he witnessed a monk present in his place of worship who is calling out to people, find out from the noble traders of Arabia whether there is anyone amongst them who lives in the Haram, i.e. in Makkah Sharif. And thus the noble Quraishi trader, he stepped forward and he said, yes, I live in the Haram. As soon as the monk found this out, he frantically asked the young man of Quraysh, has there appeared amongst you an individual named Ahmad? The trader asked, who is he? Thus the monk introduced the beloved of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam in the following way. He said that he is the light of Sayyidina Abdul Muttalib's eyes and the dear son of Sayyidina Abdullah. This is the month he will appear. He is the final prophet and he will appear in the land of Haram. He will then migrate to a land which will have stony ground that is not fit for cultivation.
but there will be an abundance of date palm trees there. You should go to him at once. The Qureshi trader, he stated that the words of the monk, they settled within my heart and I set off immediately, not resting until I arrived in Makkatul Mukarrama. As soon as I arrived in Makkah, I asked the people, is there any news? Is there any news? And they replied that yes, Muhammad bin Abdullah, who we know as the trustworthy one, the Amin, he has claimed prophethood. And Ibn Abi Khafa, meaning Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu, has brought faith to him. So I went to Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu, and I asked him, have you brought faith in the noble prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam? Yes, he replied. Let us go. And you should also not tarry in going to his court. Also, for he invites people towards the truth. So Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq then said to him, come on, let's go and I'll take you there. Now the heart of the trader was already inclined towards Islam due to the words of the monk. After hearing Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq's call towards righteousness, he was further inspired and mentioned everything the monk has said. Hence the first Khalifa of Islam, Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu, he took the young trader of his tribe to the court of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And after being motivated by the words of the monk from Basra and Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq, the Qureshi trader became affiliated to the beloved Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and he accepted Islam. When he informed the noble Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam the monk's words, he became happy. Allahu Akbar. My dear Islam brothers and viewers of Madani Channel, that fortunate Qureshi trader was none other than the beloved companion from amongst the Ashra Mubashra. The Ashra Mubashra, those 10 companions that were guaranteed paradise. He was from amongst them, none other than Sayyidina Talha bin Ubaidullah radiallahu anhu. And inshallah, today we're going to learn a little bit of the aspects of his life. In his commentary of Sunnah Abi Dawood, Allama Badruddin Aini rahmatullah ta'ala mentions his lineage as follows. He said that Sayyidina Talha bin Ubaidullah bin Usman Qureshi Taima Madani, he was also known as Abu Muhammad, and he was granted the following titles by the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam gave him the title of Al-Fayyad, Al-Jud and Al-Khair. Hence Sayyidina Talha radiallahu anhu narrates that during the Battle of Uhud, the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam referred to me as Talhatul Khair, and in the Battle of Uhain as Talhatul Jud. Imam Abdul Rauf Munawi rahmatullah ta'ala states that the reason the noble Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam conferred these titles upon him was because of his immense generosity. Sayyidina Talha radiallahu anhu lived in Makkah and was from the Banu Taib tribe of Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq. He also had a link with the lineage of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, just like Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq. His lineage converges with the bloodline of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam in 7 generations. Sayyidina Talha radiallahu anhu, he had a special relationship with the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, because he was married to Sayyiduna Hamma bint Jash radiallahu anhu, who was the sister of the mother of the believers, Sayyidina Zainab bint Jash, and they were both the daughters of the beloved Prophet's paternal aunt Sayyiduna Umayma bint Abdul Muttalib radiallahu anhu. Sayyidina Zubair bin Awam mentions that Sayyidina Talha, he named all of his sons after the noble prophets, and he said that he had 11 sons, and each one of them, he gave them a good name. His sons were called Muhammad, Imran, Musa, Yaqub, Ismail, Isaac, Zakaria, Yusuf, Isa, Yahya, and Saleh. Allahu Akbar. I'd just like to pause here for a few moments, that we learn, that is one lesson that we learned there, and the lesson there is to give our children good names. To give our children good names and pious names, name them after the pious predecessors. Name them after companions of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Name them after the prophets. Give them good names. Nowadays what happens, in our culture we've got a thing where, I've got to find a unique name. I've got to find a name that nobody's ever chosen before. I've got to think of something that nobody's ever thought of before, because I don't want my son, my daughter to have a name that anybody else has. Why not? What is wrong with having the names of the 10 Ashra Mubashra? What is wrong with having the names of the companions of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam? When the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam himself said that my companions are like stars, follow them, you will never go astray. What is wrong with being named after these great people? being named after these great people, and then they've got a link, a nisbah with these great people. And you can tell them stories about these great people, so they can feel proud to have this name of this great personality. You know, this is what we need to develop this inside ourselves. But unfortunately, nowadays, we have the mindset that we want a unique name. And I've even seen instances, viewers of my channel, where individuals, they've opened the Quran, they've closed their eyes, and they took something. Now, because they don't understand the word, they give them that name. And it could be anything. For example, if I close my eyes now, and I do this, my finger fell on the word that. So I call my child that, because nobody's called that, are they? Yeah, so my child grows up calling that. I don't know what the word that means, but I know that it's in the Quran. It's a word from the Quran. I could say, you know, I could use this as an example. I'm just using an example. That I use this word, I don't know what it means, but it's there. Is there any logic in that? Surely we should think about the name of the child. It's something that, you know, is very important for the child's life. It could affect the personality of the child. If you give your child a good name, then inshallah, azawajal, you know, it'll affect his personality. And this is why nowadays we're seeing in certain instances that children grow up and they're in the teens, they're having problems, and then when they go to a scholar, the scholar will say, what is the name of the child? And when the person gives the name of the child to the scholar will say, well, that has no meaning at all. That has no meaning at all. You've given your child a name that has no meaning whatsoever. So to think of a good name for your child is important. It is one of the rights, first rights that the child has over his parents, to be given a good name. And so in that light, we need to choose a good name. Alhamdulillah, Maktabat al-Madina has printed a book about giving good names, about choosing good names, and we should get that book. It's called Naam Rakhne Ke Akam. Again, this book is available. Get these good names. Don't just sit down and brainstorm of a name that you've never heard of. Come up with a good name. Come up with if you want a unique name, then look, there are many unique names. There are many companions of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. There are many female companions. There are mothers of the believers. There are so many, the prophets, the pious predecessors, the walis, all of these people. It's not as if we've run out of names. We've not run out of names. And if you were to name your children after the companions, or name all your, without a doubt, you could never be in a situation where your children's cousins, no matter how much they have, you know, you'd be repeating the name if you give them the names of the companions. So give them good names. Give them the names of the prophets. The names of the prophets that are mentioned in the Quran. The names of the prophets that are mentioned in the hadith. Give them names. And inshallah, that will affect the children. So give your children good names. That is, you know, a lesson that we need to learn from today. Viewers of my channel, you're watching yesterday, today and tomorrow. We're going to go to the first break of the day. We're going to go to the package of the day. And inshallah, when we come back, we're going to continue with the topic of the day. Sallu ala al-Habib, sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala anhu brings his father, Abu Qahafa, in the court of the Holy Prophet, sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam. So now, when Abu Qahafa was in the presence of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that, "O Abu Bakr, you should have left him at home. I would have come myself to him." Look at the mercy of the Holy Prophet alaihi salatu wasallam, his compassion towards the family of Siddiq Akbar radiallahu ta'ala anhu, that he's saying that, "O Abu Bakr, you should have left your father at home. I would have come to him myself." This is the compassion of the master upon his servant. But upon this, his ardent devotee, his ardent servant, Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala anhu, his ardent slave, Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he responded that, "O Prophet of Allah, O Messenger of Allah, sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam, he, i.e. my father, Abu Qahafa, is more deserving of coming to you, visiting you, than you visiting him, than you coming to him." And this is the respect, the honor that Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala anhu is showing to the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam. So this beautiful account so far, from it we also come to know the compassion, the love that Holy Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam had towards Sayyidina Siddiq Akbar radiallahu ta'ala anhu, and also the honor, the reverence that Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala anhu had for the Holy Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam as well. So now, Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala anhu had his father, Sayyidina Abu Qahafa radiallahu ta'ala anhu, present in the court of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam. And the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam made his father sit in front of him, and he scrolled his blessed hand onto his chest and said, "Accept Islam." As soon as the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam uttered these words, then Abu Qahafa, the father of Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala anhu, spontaneously uttered the kalima and embraced Islam. He entered the folds of Islam. So this is how Sayyidina Abu Qahafa radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he embraced Islam and entered the folds of Islam. It was on the day when Makkah was conquered. And as soon as the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam invited him towards Islam, he straight away accepted that invitation and he entered the folds of Islam instantly.
Sallu ala al-Habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Viewers of Mother Channel, you're watching yesterday, today and tomorrow. And today we're talking about one of those companions of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that was granted paradise during the life of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the Ashram al-Bashra. And he is called Sayyidina Talha bin Ubaidullah. Coming back to his life, another thing that we learn from the lives of our pious predecessors and we can also learn from this companion's life is the rejection of dunya. You know, they weren't bothered about this dunya. And they, you know, whenever wealth used to come to them, it is mentioned that one night, Sayyidina Talha bin Ubaidullah radiallahu anhu, he was given 70,000 dirhams. 70,000 dirhams. And he became worried and restless. And his honorable wife said to him, what is the problem? Why are you so restless? And he said, how is it possible that I can worship Allah when I've got all of this money in my house? And his blessed wife said to him, that look, don't worry. Make an intention that in the morning, you will distribute it amongst all of your members of the family here in the locality. They're in need of that money. Distribute it amongst them. And so he said that without a doubt, you know, you're a blessed, I'm fortunate to have you, that you've given me this advice. And he became overjoyed and he said to that, you are truly a righteous daughter of a righteous father. Now who was that? Who was his wife? His wife was Sayyidina Ummu Khulsum, the daughter of Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq. And in the next morning, as soon as the morning arrived, Sayyidina Talha bin Ubaidullah, he began to distribute the money amongst the Muhajireen and the Ansar. And he sent some to the fourth Khalifa of Islam, Sayyidina Ali radiallahu ta'ala. And his wife unexpectedly arrived and she said to him, "O Abu Muhammad, is there any share of this for your family?" And he replied, Where were you? Take whatever is left. And when the remaining money was counted, there was only 1,000 dirham left. From 70,000 dirhams he distributed and there was only 1,000 dirhams left. It is stated that whoever spends in the way of Allah Azza wa Jal with sincerity and good intentions like Sayyidina Talha bin Ubaidullah radiallahu anhu, Allah Azza wa Jal grants him his blessings and reward in this world and the hereafter. Allah Azza wa Jal says in Surah Baqarah, verse 245, is there anyone who will give a good loan to Allah so that Allah may increase him for him manifold? And Allah decreases and increases sustenance, and it is only to him that you will return. Allahu Akbar. That which is given in the way of Allah is never wasted. That's something that we need to understand. We should have this mindset that it is never wasted. One will certainly be given a rightful of the reward in the hereafter. But it's also, in some cases, you are rewarded in this dunya as well. It is a known fact that the wealth which is spent in the way of Allah Azza wa Jalla never decreases. It only increases. Sayyidina Abu Huraira radiallahu ta'ala narrates that the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that sadaqah does not decrease your wealth. Sadaqah does not decrease your wealth. So it's getting this mindset of realizing that, you know, when we give in the way of Allah, it's not decreasing our wealth. Because that wealth that was given to us by Allah. So it's Allah's wealth that we are giving back in the way of Allah. And how we were saying it doesn't decrease, I've got 20 pounds, I give 10 pounds, I've only got 10 pounds less, so it's definitely decreased. But no, because you've given that 10 pounds in the way of Allah, then maybe you have averted a calamity in which you're going to spend 15 pounds. Maybe you're going to have a puncture on your tire, maybe something was going to wrong that you're going to have to spend all that money. Now that money's gone on repairing your tire, repairing your car, or whatever it is, and you've not had anything put forward in the hereafter, but here, giving in the way of Allah averts a problem, and inshallah, Allah Azza wa Jal, you'll be rewarded.
It is stated that the daily income of Sayyidina Talha bin Ubaidullah radiallahu anhu was 1,000 dirhams. And he used to spend that in the way of Allah. He was rewarded for giving sadaqah such that his daily income was more than 1,000 dirhams. It is stated that once he had 100,000 dirhams. 100,000 dirhams he had. And he gave it all in the way of Allah. He gave it all in the way of Allah. But he was unable, listen to this, he was unable to attend the masjid that day because his clothing was not befitting to be worn in a masjid. Allahu Akbar. He didn't even think to himself that, look, I need it myself. What about me? What about me? He didn't have this me inside him. He thought about others. And this passion of sacrificing for others, this mindset of passion for others was also great. He sacrificed his own comfort for the sake of others, Muslims. He was well aware that Islam gives us the message of mutual compassion, which is why he displayed well-wishing by giving preference to other Muslims over himself. And now what happens is whenever, you know, we're told to spend in the way of Allah, then we'll dig in our pockets and we'll find those coins that have been there for a long time that we can't get rid of. Yeah, them copper coins, and we'll find them and we'll put them in. All those foreign coins that we got by mistake. Yeah, oh, I don't know where to get rid of that. I can't spend them. So we'll put them in the chadar. The word of the ching, ching, ching will come. People will think I'm giving money. But in fact, I'm just getting rid of my coins. Is this what we've become? You know, this mindset of preference over others. Sacrificing for the sake of others. We've not got that in us, and we need to develop that in our lives. I'm going to give you a parable that was narrated by Sayyidina Datta Ganj Bakhsh Al-Hajwari Ramatullah. That he states, he said that, I asked Sheikh Ahmad Ramatullah the reason behind his repentance. And instead, he once set off from Sarkhas with my camels. He said that during the journey, a lion roared. They heard a lion and it attacked one of the camels. And then it climbed back up the hill and it roared. Hearing its roar, many wild beasts gathered. The lion then came down and tore the camel apart. But he did not eat any of it. And he went back up the hill. The animals that were there, they ate their fill from the camel that the lion had just killed. And when they'd all ate their fill and they'd gone, then the lion decided to come down the hill to eat what was left. But as he was coming down the hill, he saw a fox that was limping, that was struggling to get there. So again, he went back up the hill. He went back up the hill and he let the fox eat the leftovers of the camel. And only when the fox was filled and everything that it had and the fox had gone, then the lion came down. Then the lion came down. And the lion then said to him, the lion turned around and said to him, he said, oh Ahmad, sacrificing one morsel is the work of dogs. Men of truth sacrifice their lives. Men of truth are willing to sacrifice their lives. What are we willing to sacrifice? Are we willing to sacrifice our lives? Are we willing to sacrifice anything in the way of Allah? And we're told here, sacrificing one morsel is the work of dogs. Men of truth even sacrificed their lives. And again, if you read about our pious predecessors, you read about them, they not only were willing to, they did. They did sacrifice their lives. Happily sacrificed their lives. When they went out into the battlefield, for them it's a win-win situation. There was no way they were going to lose. Why? There would either be victory in the battlefield or martyrdom in the battlefield. And for both of them was a win-win situation. That's how their mindset was, that they were willing to sacrifice their lives. What are we willing to sacrifice now? When we ask you to sacrifice a few hours to come to the weekly Shnawal, we can't do it. Sacrifice a few days and travel in the way of Allah, we can't do it. The companions of the Prophet of Allah, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, they traveled and they sacrificed their lives and they spent their lives spreading the deen of Islam so that the deen of Islam could get to us. What sacrifices have we made? And if it was not, think to yourself, if it was not for the sacrifices of the companions, if it was not for the sacrifices of our predecessors, would the deen of Islam got here to UK today? I'm sat here in the UK, I'm sat here in the Bradford studio. The deen of Islam got here through the sacrifices of our pious predecessors. They, if we say, okay, that, you know, our families, they came from the Pak Hind subcontinent, they're the people that brought Islam in. Okay. But who brought it to them? How did they get Islam? Again, our pious predecessors brought it to them. And it's something that we need to think about. They did their job. They made them ultimate sacrifices and spread the deen of Islam. What have we done? They left their lives, they left their homes, they left everything for the sake of Islam. All around the world, you travel around the world and you find that there's a companion of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam buried here. Be it in North Africa, in places like Tunisia, be it in Turkey, be it in Iran, be it in Pakistan, even in China, the companions of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, they traveled and they spread the deen of Islam. Where do we stand on that rank? Why are we not got that passion inside us? Are we so engrossed in the dunya that we just want to make more and more and more, and we don't think about this? Do we not owe it to them? You know, owe it to our pious predecessors, the sacrifices that they made, that made us Muslims. That your rank is great, you are the greatest rank. The Muslims are high in rank in the sight of Allah. Allah Azza wa Jalla has raised us a rank by being Muslims. We are so fortunate. The majority of the people that are watching this program, that you are born into Islam, you don't realize how fortunate you are. Why? Because you were given it for free effectively. You didn't have to sacrifice anything. What sacrifices have me and you made for the deen of Islam? Have we made any sacrifices? And yet we get it for free. We've got it for free. We've got the deen of Islam for free. And we need to pass this message on. We need to call people. We need to rectify people. Not only rectify ourselves, but rectify the people of the whole world. And this is what the mission statement of Dawah Islami is. And I've said it before on Madani Channel, I'll say it again now, that if we go back in our history, except for the Sayyids that are amongst us, or except for those people that can say that they are directly related to Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu, or the Sayyids, except for them, if you go back in your history, far enough, a time will come where your family members, your ancestors, were not Muslims. Picture the day, someone left their home and invited your family members to Islam. Allahu Akbar. For you, for your family, for your ancestors, for all of your descendants to the day of judgment, that was one of the most beautiful days. Because that person leaving his home saved you all. And if it was not for him leaving his home, inviting your ancestors to Islam, you would not be here today. They've done their job. What about our job? What is our job? Isn't our job also to promote the deen of Islam, to live our lives in such a way? We've said it before on Madani Channel that each and every one of us is an ambassador. And we're all ambassadors. An ambassador is someone that represents something. You are representing Islam. So live your lives in such a way that either you promote Islam by showing the beauty of Islam, or you live your life in such a way that at least don't do anything that when people look at and say, this is what Muslims are? Is that what Muslims are? Don't live your life in such a way that I'll push people further away from the deen of Islam. But ideally live your life in such a way that people come closer to Islam. And if you look at the people of today, of the past, go into history and look at those people that came to Islam, how did they come to Islam? The majority of them came not by studying the Quran, not by comparing the Quran to other books, not by comparing the Quran to science. They came to Islam by looking at you, by looking at the person in front of them. Each and every one of us is an ambassador of Islam. Each and every one of us is a salesman of Islam. Each and every one of us is selling that product. And that product is deen. That product is the afterlife. That product is the akhirat. That product is paradise. We are the salesman. And how we live our lives. So when people look to us, they should look to us and think, you know what, these are good guys. These are good people. We should remove this image in society of what people think about Muslims. Give them a good image. Give them the true image. Give them the best image. It's not as if we're giving someone a false image. It's not as if we're lying to people. This is the true image of Islam. The problem is us. We don't give that true image. We don't present Islam to the people. And if we live our lives according to the Sharia, if we live our lives according to the Sunnah of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and adopt that in our lives, I firmly believe that more and more people will flock into the fold of Islam. The reason why people are not coming into Islam is because of me and you. Because they look at us and they think, I don't really want to be like him, do I? Why do I want to be like him? Look at him. He lies, he cheats, he swears, he backbites, he swindles, he fiddles, he does this, he does that. He sells drugs. He commits this sin, he's committing that sin. Why do I want to be like him? And although the scholars have not said it, but do you not think that on the day of judgment we could be held accountable? That because of our actions, we push people away from Islam. Do you not think that you're going to be held accountable for that? Allah Azza wa Jalla will question you about your life, your health, your wealth, your time, your youth. What did you do with it? You'll be questioned about these things. What is our answer? How did we live our lives? Did we live our lives in such a way that people looked at us and thought, you know, these are decent people, these are good people. I want to find out about them. I remember we were in a Madri Kafla in a country. And on the last day, we bought some gifts to take home. And the shopkeeper, when they were calculating the gifts, because we knew how much money we had left, basically. And so what we'd done is, we as we were buying the things, we asked how much they sell, and we were doing a mental calculation in our head. And when we realized we spent all our money that we had on gifts, then we said, okay, we don't want any more. And he started counting it up. And when he was counting it up, he got it wrong. Because he'd missed one item. One, you know, an expensive item, so to speak. So the Mubalik said to him that, you've got it wrong. I said, no, I've just used a calculator. You know, it's not as if I'd done mental math, I'd done the calculator. And the Mubalik said to him that, no, you've not included everything. Please take everything out and do it again. My shopkeeper was shocked. So he took everything out, one by one. He counted it all and put it all back in, one by one. And he'd realized as he was calculating and putting it, that one item he'd not put the price in for. And when he did the final calculation, he said to them, look, you know, all the profit that I was going to make today was in that one item. If I'd not charged you for that item, I would have made nothing today. And he said to them, Mubalik, why did you tell the truth? You know, it wasn't your mistake, it was my mistake. You could have just paid the money and walked out the door, and it wouldn't have been your fault. Why did you tell the truth? And the Mubalik said that my deen teaches me to tell the truth. My deen teaches me to be honest. Now that person, he did not accept Islam there. But that person, without a doubt, went away with a positive image of Islam. He, in his mind, he thought to himself that these people are honest people. These people don't lie. These people don't swindle. These people don't take advantage of people's weaknesses. He could go home that day and think to himself that, oh, I sold that much to him. Oh, you know, a minute, I didn't put that in. He would still not have blamed us because it was his fault. But at least now, a positive image was put in his mind. What positive images are me and you putting in the minds of people when we meet them? In our workplaces, in our school, in our college, in our university, what do people think of us? Do they think of us positively? Do they think of these Muslims as good people? Do they look at you and think, you know, these are decent people? You know, whatever the media says, what about the Muslims I know? I don't know what's in the news. I don't know about the Muslims I know are decent people. The Muslims I know are good people. Who is going to create that image? You are, I am. It is our role, our job to do this. So live our lives in such a way that, you know, people look at us and they become attracted to us. Attracted to the deen of Islam. And make our lives in such a way that we invite people to the fold of Islam. Invite people to the masjid. Invite those people that are astray. You know, someone, he says that, I apply the 3-foot rule. And I said to him, what's the 3-foot? He says, my arm is approximately 3 foot. I said, okay. Yeah, so. He said, whoever comes within that radius, I invite them to the path of righteousness. I give them nikki kidawat, I invite them. You know, and it's part of his life. That's how he does it. And there are many people that do this, that they won't miss an opportunity to call people to the path of righteousness. Why? Because they know the reward in it. Sayyidina Musa alayhi salam, he said to Allah, Ya Allah, what is the reward for calling someone to the path of righteousness? What is the reward for calling someone to the path of righteousness? And Allah Azza wa Jalla replied, for every word that you speak, 1 year's worship will be written into your book of deeds. Allahu Akbar. Now in there, it wasn't, what is the reward for a successful calling people to righteousness? It wasn't that, you know, I've called all these people, but only one person came to the masjid. So am I just rewarded for that one person or what? No, you are rewarded for all of them. For every word that you speak. So why are we not doing that? This is why the people of the past, they would look for opportunities. The pious people look for opportunities to call people to the path of righteousness. And we should change our lives in the same way that you're looking for opportunities to make more money, in the same way you're looking for opportunities to get promotion, in the same way you're looking for opportunities to get a better house, a better car, a better job. In the same way, we should look for opportunities to please our Rabb, to please our Creator. And this is one of the ways, by calling people to the path of righteousness, by inviting them. And take it seriously. And how can you invite people? How can I possibly invite someone to the path of righteousness if I lie? I swear, I backbite. They're not going to listen to me, are they? They're not going to listen to me. Who's he calling to the mushrik? He needs to sort himself out first. Who does he think he is? Yeah? Such a big crook and he's inviting me to the mushrik. Sort yourself out first, mate. And that's what will happen. So sort yourself out. And this is what, again, I come back to Dawat Islam. This is what Dawat Islam's mission is, to rectify ourselves. That I must strive to rectify myself. And inshallah, I will continue to do this until the day I die. I will strive to rectify myself. And in doing so, I will also strive to rectify the people of the whole world. And that is the mission statement of Dawat Islam. Viewers of the channel, I think I've gone a little bit long than usual. Let's go to the kalam of the day, and then inshallah, when we come back, we're going to continue with the topic of the day. Sallu ala al-Habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
Rok leti hai aapki nisbat tere jitne bhi hum pe chalte hain ye karam hai huzoor ka.
Na mera
چھپا کے دامن رحمت میں اپنے خالد کو چھپا کے دامن رحمت میں اپنے خالد کو قدم قدم پہ نوازا بڑا کرم رکھا قدم قدم پہ نوازا بڑا کرم رکھا کرم ہی کرتے رہے سایہ کرم
صلو علی الحبیب صلی اللہ تعالی علی محمد صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم. MashaAllah viewers, I'm on the channel. You're watching yesterday, today and tomorrow. I'm looking at the time. Time is flying, isn't it? Time is flying. We were talking about the sacrifices that were made by Sayyidina Talha radiallahu anhu, that he would give everything in the way of Allah and he wouldn't even think anything about himself. And, you know, we need to develop this mindset of sacrifice. But sacrifice is not always, you know, time and money. You know, those people that sacrifice their time about traveling in the way of Allah, those people that sacrifice by spending in the way of Allah. Sacrifice can be other things as well. For example, you're on the bus, giving your place on the bus to someone who you feel is more needy than you, an elderly person giving their place to them. You know, sacrificing your own comforts for them. Do we even do that? You know, it might seem like something insignificant, but you know, all of these things, if we do them with the right intention, then inshallah we can get the reward. So how much does it cost you? You sat on the bus, you sat on the train, and an elderly person is there. How much does it cost you to get up and give them a seat? And you go and try and look for a seat. Or if you can't find a seat, you have to stand up on the seat. How much does that cost? It doesn't. But do we even do that? You know, we see our neighbors, elderly neighbors, you know, struggling to get the bins in or out of the house. The bin men are coming to collect the bins. How many times do we help them and assist them? You know, how much effort is involved in that? You know, these little things, and this is what our deen teaches us, to be helpful to people, to be kind to people. And do you not think, you know, talking what we mentioned before, that people being appealed, you know, appealing to people about Islam, that if you help them, give up the seat to them, you know, help them take the rubbish out, help them take the bins out, or if you've got an elderly neighbor and ask them, look, I'm going shopping, is there anything you need? Little, do you not think that that will give a positive image of Islam to them? You know, even you know, a smile with your neighbors, we're not even willing to give that sadaqah. Yes, smiling is a sadaqah as well. You know, we're not even willing to do that. These little things, if we do them, then people will come closer to us. So unless you are willing to sacrifice things, people will not come. And we are put on this earth to worship Allah and to follow in the footsteps of our pious predecessors and to call people so that we can attain the reward of calling people into the fold of Islam. If you call one person into Islam, then you've not called one person into Islam. In the same way that story I mentioned earlier, that if you go back to your ancestors, that person called your ancestor in Islam 100 years ago, 200 years ago, 300 years ago. How many people has he called into Islam by calling that one person? You don't even know. You do not know how many ancestors you have or how many ancestors this person had, because you're in just one branch. What about all the other branches of his children, the ancestors, your second cousin, third cousin, fifth cousin, and so on and so on and so on, your distant relatives that you don't even know exist. You don't even know where they are in the world. They could be going into thousands, and it's not finished yet. This continues until the day of judgment. Our children, all those people, their children, how many people has he brought into the fold of Islam through his efforts? All of them. It could turn into millions. You know, can you imagine the reward of converting 1 million people into Islam?
If you convert one people, one person, then you've assisted in millions of people, hopefully, being in the fold of Islam. And just think to yourself that our deen rewards you as such, that every salah, every kalma, every zikr, every reading the Quran, every ibadah that everybody does from then until the religion, you will be also be rewarded. What greater offer is than that? To be rewarded for all of them things. So, you know, make some sacrifices. Change how you live your life in such a way that people are appealed, you know, people are appealed by your life, by your lifestyle. You know, if we're living an arrogant lifestyle, if we're living a I don't care lifestyle, my life, my rules lifestyle, I don't care about anybody else's lifestyle, then do you think people are going to come closer? Yes, people may come closer to you because, oh, they're scared of you. Or they may come closer to you because of the money that they got of you. But once you don't have that power, once you don't have that money, they'll be gone. They'll be gone. You know, if people respect you today, why do they respect you? Is it because of your power, your money, or do they respect you because of who you are? And that's what we need to work on. We need to work on who we are and be willing to make them sacrifices. Make the changes in our life and make the sacrifices in our life. Travel in the way of Allah. Go to the weekly ishtamas. Attend the courses. Invite people to Islam. Invite people to the ishtama. You know, just think, if you invite 12 people to the weekly ishtama every week, 12 people you invite, how long is that going to take? 12 phone calls. 12 phone calls. 12 two-minute phone calls. I'm going to the weekly ishtama tonight. You know, they're going to be talking about this, or it's going to be this time tonight. I'll see you there. Do you want me to pick you up? Okay, all right, I'll see you then. Take it. And that's your job done. How long is that going to take? But the reward, Allahu Akbar. For every word that you speak, you'll be rewarded with 1 year's worship. Viewers on the channel, we're going to take a small break now, inshallah. We're going to go to the final package of the day. And when we're going to come back, we're going to come back and talk a little bit more about Sayyidina Talha radiallahu anhu, about, you know, how he left this dunya and the lessons that we can learn from that as well. Sallu ala al-Habib, sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
Dear viewers of Madni channel, Subhanallah Azza wa Jal, four hadiths of final Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam discussing scholars. Number one, how commendable is the scholar of Islam? He conveys benefit if the need arises and keeps himself independent if ignored. Number two, there are 100 ranks between a scholar and worshipper. The distance between every two ranks is that covered by a fine trained horse running for 70 years. Number three, a believing scholar possesses 70 ranks of excellence over a believing worshipper. Number four, it was asked, O Messenger of Allah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam, what is the greatest deed? He explained in reply, Al-ilmu billah. O Messenger of Allah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam, he was then asked, what do you consider knowledge to be? Knowledge regarding the being of Allah. It was further asked, our question was related to physical actions, yet you replied by mentioning knowledge instead. He answered, if you have knowledge regarding the being of Allah, even a small amount of action will then cause benefit. If you do not have this, then even a great number of actions will be empty of benefit. Sallu ala al-Habib, sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
Sallu ala al-Habib, sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. It always happens, doesn't it, that you get towards the end of the program, there's so much that you want to say about these great individuals. And today we've learned a little bit about Sayyidina Talha radiallahu ta'ala. And we mentioned earlier on about giving names to our children. You know, the name Talha. You know, what a beautiful name that is. And there are people that have given their children that name. And I hope that them people that give their children these names of the pious predecessors, the righteous khalifas, the mothers of the believers, the companions of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the prophets themselves, that they also find out about their lives and find out about how they live their lives and tell them stories to them, that you are named after this person. Do you realize, beta, that, you know, my son, that this is the person that you were named after? You know, this is how he lived his life. This is how he loved the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. This is the sacrifices that he made. These were his unique qualities. Allahu Akbar. If only we can have that knowledge. But unfortunately, we may call our children Talha, which is a beautiful name without a doubt. But do we know who Talha is? Do we know who Sayyidina Talha radiallahu anhu? Do we know who these things are? Unfortunately, in a lot of cases, we don't. Sayyidina Talha bin Ubaidullah radiallahu anhu is included amongst those brave companions who had vowed to sacrifice everything in the way of Allah. On many occasions, he demonstrated great displays of bravery for the elevation of Islam without caring for his own life. Mentioning his courage and his valor, the first Khalifa of Islam, Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu, stated that when we looked towards Sayyidina Talha during the Battle of Uhud, we saw that he had been afflicted with more than 70 small and large wounds on his noble body whilst defending the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And his fingers had been caught, seeing this, the noble Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, paradise has become wajib for Talha. Can you imagine that day? You know, he's there protecting the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, not caring about himself. 70 wounds, small and large wounds on his blessed body, 70 wounds, his fingers were cut, 70 wounds to protect the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Not protecting his own life, to protect the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. It is no wonder that the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that this person, paradise is wajib for this person. These are the sacrifices that the companions made. And it's said that he displayed courage in many battles. And in the end, during the Battle of Jamal, the 11th of Jamadul Akhra, Marwan bin Hakam shot an arrow into his leg, which severed his blood vessel in a bad way, such that when it was covered, his leg would swell up. And when it was left, he would bleed excessively. Eventually, he said, leave it, as this is an arrow from the arrows of Allah Azza wa Jalla. Meaning, my martyrdom has been destined with this arrow. Thus, it was due to this state that he attained martyrdom at the age of 60 or 64. In the battlefield, not retiring, not sitting in front of the TV, in the battlefield, a 60-year-old with a sword in his hand. And we look at ourselves, where is that courage gone now? Where is that valor gone? Where is that manhood gone? Where is it gone? You know, as men today, what do we know? Do we have that courage inside us? Do we have that valor inside us? Do we have that spirit inside us? This was how the companions lived their life. It is stated that after his martyrdom, Sayyidina Talha radiallahu anhu was buried near Basra. But the place where his blessed grave was made was deep, which would cause his blessed grave to be flooded at times. He would continuously appear in a person's grave dream, and it commanded him to move his grave. Thus, the man mentioned this dream to Sayyidina Abdullah bin Abbas radiallahu anhu and said to him, and so the latter purchased the house of a companion and he dug a grave there. Then the blessed body of Sayyidina Talha bin Ubaidullah radiallahu anhu was taken out of the old grave and placed in this. And it stated that despite a long time passing, his blessed body was intact and completely fresh. Allahu Akbar. Again, lessons to learn. If this is the state of the martyrs in their grave, then what is the state of the prophets? Views of Manchana, today we've talked very, very briefly about the life of Sayyidina Talha radiallahu ta'ala, about how he gave his children good names, about the sacrifices he made, not thinking about himself, not only not thinking about himself when it came to his own physical needs, but not thinking about himself when it came to his life. He sacrificed his personal needs, his personal wants. And without a doubt, his children had that mindset again. Because if your blessed wife or your children do not have that mindset, and you're giving in the way of Allah, then there can be hardship for you. Why? We want the money. Buy us this, buy us that. I need this, I need that. So again, we learn that he, without a doubt, he must have given his children, his blessed wife must have given his children that mindset and that upbringing, that the father is sacrificing in the way of Allah. This is what's good for us. Do we give our children that mindset? You may spend in the way of Allah, but do you give your children that mindset as well? And then we see that he traveled in the way of Allah. He went in the battle. I'm not asking you to join the battle today.
But yes, I am actually. I'm asking you to join the battle today. What battle am I asking you to join? The battle against shaitan. The battle against falsehood. The battle against shaitan. So bring yourself out of your houses. Travel in the way of Allah. Travel in the, to go to the ishtimas. And travel and wage war against shaitan. Wage war against shaitan and remove these sins that are happening in this society. Remove these diseases that are happening in society. Remove those things that are taking the iman away from us. Protect your iman and protect the iman of others. Viewers of Mother Channel, you've been watching yesterday, today, and tomorrow. Until the next time, keep watching Mother Channel. Sallu ala al-Habib, sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
The special favor of Allah. Holy Allah. The universe is the body and its soul. Holy Allah.